As we come to our scripture passage today, it comes out of Matthew, the 28th chapter. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. When coming to Easter Sunday, there are always those central pieces of scripture that are used to help highlight what was taking place on that very wonderful first Easter morning. But it was, for those that were participants, very unexpected. They were going to the tomb with a purpose that in their minds was a very sad and solemn purpose. They were going there to take care of the body. There had not been time to take care of properly when laid to rest on Friday evening. So those that went early were heavy of heart and came expecting to find what any of us would expect to find after there had been death. They expected to find a body in the tomb. But Scripture tells us that, oh, how quickly things changed for those that approached the tomb. From Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning reading of that first verse. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away, afraid from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Would you bow with me for just a moment of prayer? We thank you, Lord, for the story again of Easter morning, how you turn despair into joy, how with the resurrection you changed our lives forever. We thank you again for the chance to be able to recognize the significance of this marvelous event. Not only for those that had preceded us, but particularly for us today in our living of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have the opportunity on a monthly basis to meet with some fellow pastors in our area. It's a group that had developed several years ago, actually. Dixon Free, former pastor here at Pritchard, was one of the originators of this particular group, and Dixon still meets with us today, as does now his pastor, Dr. Stanley Spence of First Baptist Church in Lincolnton. They still meet with our group, as well as several other pastors in the area, Al Cadenhead, Doug Aldridge, who has retired but lives with some of our people at Southminster. There's Russ and Amy Dean from Park Road. There's several others that you would recognize in the area. And oftentimes the discussion, as you would think, from a bunch of pastors is, what are you preaching on? What are you going to preach on? And recently the subject for us was, what are you going to do with Easter? Several who had been at their churches for a long time said, I believe that maybe my church has heard everything I have to say about Easter Sunday morning. How do you make it new? How do you make it fresh? How do you make it the kind of experience that people go away from it not feeling like it is old and staid, but instead it is new and is exciting? Sort of makes you think of the story of the pastor who on Sunday morning got up and said to his wife, there are going to be some people there today that I haven't seen in a year. I hope I remember them. Sure enough, he saw one of his Easter-only members coming. It's Mr. Johnson. After the service was over, Mr. Johnson was making his way toward the pastor, and he could tell he had a scowl on his face. And he said, this is not going to be pleasant. But anyway, he said, good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you today? Mr. Johnson said, I'm terrible. He said, Mr. Johnson, what's wrong? He said, I just can't for the life of me figure out how every time I'm in church, you preach on the same thing. As we finally came to the end of that discussion with fellow pastors, we came to the realization that there are some things that just never get old. There are some things that no matter how many times you talk about it, how many times you experience it, there are some things that are new and are fresh and are exciting every time you come to it. There are certain things that never get old. Now for you, there's probably a personal list that you would think about today. For me, personally, a cool breeze on a hot summer day never gets old. To hear someone utter the words, I love you, never gets old. An unexpected, out-of-the-blue compliment never gets old. Walking outside on a beautiful spring morning and looking around and seeing dogwood trees in bloom and azaleas at brilliant color never gets old. And a personal favorite for me, fried chicken never gets old. There are certain things for us that no matter how many times we experience it, it is for us this sense of emotion that comes over us, and for us again to recognize what this day is all about and how important in our personal experience this day of Easter is, never gets old. For you do understand the centrality of what we are celebrating today, the importance of this day in our relationship to God and in our Christian walk. Without today, without Easter Sunday morning, without an empty tomb, we are not worshiping the Son of God without it. The thing that separates him from all who went before was that he followed through on God's plan, and this day is the culmination of that plan, and with his resurrection, so we gained eternal life with him, and victory over death was not just his on this day, it became ours. The Gospels tell of the importance of the life of Christ. From the time God conceived the idea that there was only one way for us to be saved, and that was that he must send his Son in order to live as an example for us so that we might have one to look at and to follow in order to know what true life and real living is about, God knew that this day was coming. God knew that the plan had to allow his Son to live, to minister, to set a new standard for what life was like, and then, yes, to die, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There had to be a sacrifice in order for us to be made whole. There had to be a sacrifice. Blood had to be shed in order for our sins to be covered and us to have a relationship with God. But he knew all along that the cross must happen, but that following the cross was the ultimate expression of his power and his love for us. He would resurrect his Son. He would lift him from the grave, and in lifting him would put the final stamp on a plan that he orchestrated out of absolute, complete, total love for you and for me. He did not do it because in any way it was a value to him. God has it all. But what he didn't have, and what he wanted so desperately, was a relationship with those who he created. A kind of relationship that they would depend upon him, love him, be committed to him, and live life in a way that he had intended when he first thought of creating us. So he sent that example to show what life is really like. So we follow that example. We follow what Christ lives, and we attempt to look more like him with the living of life every day. We read his word so that that might challenge us, and that might take us to a different level in who we are in life. And then we read about the love he had, the commitment he had to his Father in heaven, where he actually went to the cross and allowed himself to be killed for us. He followed God's plan so completely that he followed it to the grave so that today we might celebrate. Now, Easter Sunday for us is not just simply a day where we celebrate new life, where we celebrate this sense that God has a power that is beyond anything we have understood, even though that is so important for us to see. If death itself can't hold God himself through Christ in the grave, then nothing is more powerful than he is. But today, we have to look at how that affects us personally in every day that we live. How is it that Easter Sunday affects us every single day that we get up and face the world? What is it that this day, what part does it play in the rest of the year? Well, it plays the central role. For we don't have to fear, if we have a relationship with Christ, we don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear sickness. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear difficulty and challenges, because the end of the story for each of us who know Christ has already been written. When Christ died and then was resurrected, Paul understood clearly and said over and over again as he wrote to those churches that he tried to influence, we have been resurrected with Christ. And therefore, there is no sting of death. There is no victory for the grave. So no matter where we find ourselves, fear of death itself and what comes at the end of the life is no longer a part of our existence. And it is Easter Sunday morning that we have to be able to point to and be grateful for and to say, the responsibility for that fear being gone, God has made available to us on Easter. There should be a number of reasons why we celebrate today. There are many of you in the congregation, because I know you've lost people of significance in your life in the last days and months and maybe this year. Easter Sunday should be for you one of those most fantastic and incredible representations of God's love, because He has promised you that you will see them, those you have lost again. For those that die in Christ will be, in a sense of homecoming and reunion, those that have preceded us in faith. There is a great and marvelous homecoming in store. So we can be grateful today for God's plan that included resurrection, and those that you love that have preceded you in faith wait for you. And Easter Sunday morning makes that possible. For those who have a challenge of sickness and do not know where that will lead, neither you nor your doctors understand whether that will lead to health or to death, you can be grateful beyond any other day of the year for Easter morning. Because your future is secure. You will be made totally and completely whole, either temporarily while here or forever in His presence. That's what Easter Sunday morning represents. That's what Easter Sunday morning is all about. If there are those of you that talk to you about your faith, and they say to you, I've read some in the Bible, there are a lot of miraculous things in there. Do you believe those? Then you need to start with the question to yourself, do I believe the ultimate, most wonderful miracle that God raised His Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead? for that is the centerpiece of our belief. Without that, the rest crumbles and falls. So Easter Sunday is about embracing the miracle of resurrection. Easter Sunday is about thanking God for a plan that gives us hope for the future. Easter Sunday morning is all about embracing God's love for us, who made it possible for us to smile even in the midst of the difficulties of life, because He has promised victory even over death. And if you live life knowing that that victory is already accomplished, it's amazing how the rest of your life is changed. It's amazing how you are freed to live with a sense that ultimately everything is in God's hands, and commitment to Him and His purpose for you is much more important than the worry about those things you cannot control. God has ultimate control, even over life and death. So Easter Sunday ought to be a day we celebrate. Easter Sunday ought to never get old for us. Getting up on that morning and feeling the exhilaration of the excitement of one more opportunity to thank God for a plan that included us, that made it available for us. No matter where you are in your living of life, if you walked off the street today and came into this place and have no relationship with God presently, He has made it possible for anyone and everyone to embrace Him, to have relationship with Him, and to experience the joy of Easter Sunday morning. His love is so vast, so incredible, so incomprehensible, that He loves you right now where you are at whatever state, and will take you. All you have to do is want to take Him. Easter Sunday morning, an incredible and marvelous and wonderful time to recognize God's goodness in His plan for us. The newness again of feeling that plan, that love, for us should never, ever get old. Would you join me in prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for Your blessings. They are so incredibly wonderful. A part of that blessing is a chance for us to be able to celebrate what You did through the resurrection of Your Son, how that affects us daily, how personally we walk differently, we live differently because of that love expressed and because of the miracle of resurrection. Help us to live like those who are attached to, dependent upon, and have a relationship with that risen Christ. Help us to affect the world around us because of that relationship with You. We thank You again, Lord, for the opportunity to celebrate Your love, Your goodness, and Your graciousness on this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.